So I don't know about the notes situation because Calvary Tucson is really slick with the notes. When I taught for Robert a few years ago, he's like, what's your thumbnail? I go, I don't even know what a thumbnail is. I got two, but what are you talking about? He's like, no, man, like we do YouTube, we do all this stuff, we push it. I'm like, okay. And so he had to help me. And so I talked to one of the media people about this title, The Good, the Bad, and the Godly, and I didn't infringe upon Clint Eastwood's publishing company because we moved that last word, but he goes, do you really want things in it? He goes, do you really want things in there? And I assume it's up there, yes. And I said, yes, and the only reason I want things in there is because Jesus actually mentions the word things. And so this is not my word, this is his word. And it kind of helps me because we're talking about distraction. We're talking about things that are a distraction. And as an ADD person, diagnosed all the way back in the early 80s, distractions are, they are so close to me. And I try to fight them so much. And so I have to have things in a certain way. I don't even like these mics that like touch your ear and they move around and stuff, these Britney Spears mics, just because I'm one of those guys. Little bit of, what's the term, dyslexia too. I was in those classes in junior high that they called LD, for those of you who know. I don't think we can say learning disability in schools anymore, but that's, I was like, man, I don't know that I have that, but they're like, well, you're very distracted and you talk a lot and the teachers write your name up on the board with a check and so we're going to put you in this class and there's only like five guys in there and the teacher's, he's wild and he's used to kids like you. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go. And then you know, your friends drive, they walk by that class and they're like, ah, look at you. And I'm like, I don't know, that's just what the guidance counselor put me in. So distractions, prioritization, it's always been a struggle, but we're going to see something tonight in the Word of God with Mary and Martha and Jesus that help us to understand why these things are so important, why it is so important for us to regularly prioritize everything in our lives, every single thing, and at least to look at them, be willing to look at them. So a distraction, the definition of a distraction is just something that prevents someone from giving their full attention to something else. But three things before we get into kind of the meat of this text. The first one is for us to acknowledge that distraction and things can be a real hindrance to our faith as Christians. The second is to realize Satan can use distractions to keep Christians off track, off task, and burdened. And he does. And he wants to. And thirdly, to look at what Jesus would say to the worried, the troubled, and the distracted. Distraction, like I said, it has been an issue. It's been a struggle for me my whole life. Not all distractions are bad. When I would get a shot, like a tetanus shot or something for school, like my mom would have some toy, and they'd just be ready to stick you. And man, did they stick you hard back then. And so the distraction was probably good until that extreme pain. But that's the only way they could get me, because I was just so squirrely. But it's a huge issue for people today. I mean, one of the songs, I mean, City Psalms, that was an amazing set. One of the songs, the first song, was in her lyrics, she was singing, scrolling on our screens. Like, that's a huge issue. There's studies about how much that in young people right now is causing serious depression. Like, studies from, like, secular universities. So it is a real issue. But a lot of people in our society, people I talk to, people, you know, you talk to people, you counsel people, you do all of these things, you interact, and a lot of people describe themselves as busy, tired, overworked, anxious, burdened, many overloaded with information. Just so much information. So much comes into our brains in a given day. The estimate from 2023 was 74 gigs a day. I don't know about you guys, the first computer I bought, it was a while back, Gateway computer, had 10 gigs. That was what the RAM or the storage, I'm like, I'm paying all this money for 10 gigs. I can get like 4 terabytes in like a $400 computer. It's crazy. But 74 gigs, if this is true, and I'm not sure how true it is, they didn't say all people, they said the average person, the brain, everything in our brain is taking in from eyes to ears, all of that. The equivalent of what would be 74 gigs. 500 years ago, the average person took in 74 gigs in their life. So no wonder we're distracted. No wonder we're overloaded. No wonder we're fried. And sometimes you just feel like you can't get out of it. Sometimes you just can't, you feel like, I can't see through all this. I can't even like get to where my mind is clear enough to be able to hear from the Lord or to be able to sit at his feet, as we'll see in a second. Many are tied to phones, tablets, TVs, demanding jobs, strained relationships, keeping up. So for us as Christians, distractions in general, the ones that keep us from following Jesus closely, they need to be rooted out. They need to be called out in our own lives, maybe through a friend, and they need to be rooted out. We need to look at our lives and take inventory regularly, see what needs to go, see what needs to be reprioritized. So verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Now there's a lot, this is a very short passage, but there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. There's details that are very important to understand. And one of the details is that Jesus, this village, which is called Bethany, is between 3 and 4 mile estimate, between 3 and 4 miles east of Jerusalem. You almost drive through it as you come into Jerusalem these days on the tours. It's got a different name now. But this family, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, were very near and dear to Jesus' heart. I remember hearing when I was a pastor, a college pastor, like 20-something years ago, early 2000s in Chicagoland, one of our pastors who was he was the sweetest guy in the world. You could never get him to say anything like even rough, out of line, never. Like even like just joking around with him. And he's preaching one day and he goes, sorry. He goes, he was talking about love and he goes, we have to love all people. Like it's a mandate. Jesus tells us we have to love people. He goes, but I might not have to like everybody. And I was like, ooh, that's a nice let me off the hook. I appreciate it. But the point is Jesus loved all people. He went to the cross for all people. He loved humanity, but he really liked this family. And he really hung out with this family. I mean, what we have of Christ in these four gospels is so limited. You know, I've said it many times that John talks about if the books of the world could be written about just his 3 years of ministry, there would be no room. So we see, you know, what we see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see these encounters. But Jesus is another commentator, it's kind of a little bit hard to find this information, was talking about the political static around Jesus at this time. And so 4 miles in their day, that's close. That's super close, maybe even 3 miles away. Less than an hour's walk is Bethany. And that Jesus, because of how he had taught, because of how he had been approached with the religious elite, the Pharisees, you name it, people just didn't like what he said when he said those harsh statements. You know, Jesus starts with 12 people. It swells to thousands, first megachurch. And then at the cross, there's almost no one left. God Almighty, with his perfect teaching gift, perfect. There's a lot of great teachers in our world, none close to Jesus. How Jesus taught was like one with not only real authority, but they didn't know who they were listening to. It was God speaking. And so Jesus himself, who gave us free will and allowed people to listen and observe and watch, they bailed. People bailed out. So for Martha to host this dinner party, if you will, there was probably some flack in the village. There was probably some flack coming out. I mean, the Pharisees, some of these religious leaders were known to chase Jesus all the way up to the Galilee, to faraway places, to try and get a gotcha, right? You'd be like, I heard him say this, whatever it was. So Martha welcomes him in to her house, and obviously Mary's there. But this dinner party, I don't know about you, when I think about Jesus, when I think about like what you and I have of the Word of God and what they would have had in their day, obviously very limited information that they had. And these two, specifically Mary and Martha, knew him, but how much did they have? How much had they memorized? How much did they maybe write down? I don't know. Probably very little. But a dinner party with Jesus, Jesus in your house. I understand Martha's issue, which we'll get to in a second. I totally get it. And Jesus did not have tons of time left. So being at this dinner party, verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here's Mary and Martha, and they're very different, obviously. And so Mary is this person who, though she did serve, though she did work, though she did, I mean, the text kind of lets us know that she, it wasn't, you know, she wasn't just making Martha do everything, but there was probably prep work. They probably had prepped beforehand. But Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word, hearing every word, just sitting down and listening to him teach. A lot of commentators will talk about the fact that they believe there were many others there, but these are the highlight people. She listens to every word, like when someone we love is in the hospital. Maybe they're in hospice. Maybe they can still talk. If that's been you, you know how serious. You're like writing some of that stuff down. In our day, we just record now. We just record stuff. But in our day, like we have all these things we don't even think about, like the technological advances and the things that one comedian said, I have more pictures of my kids than my father ever looked at me. Like seriously, like, and we're near the same age. I was like, yeah, it's about right. When we did the 80s thing a couple weeks ago, I was asking my mom in Chicago, I was like, hey, I need a picture of myself from 85. Took her a long time and there weren't many. I got 100 pictures from my kids that are texting pictures of themselves and our dogs this week. That it's like, it's just slowing the phone down. So it's a different world. But Mary understood, they understood. Jesus' time was very limited. How much time they'd have with him, they didn't know. And so she's not gonna waste a minute. And Martha, on the other hand, is like the Christian servant, like the serve, serve, serve. I gotta serve, I gotta get this done. The house has gotta be perfect. The meal, you know, everything's gotta be, this is Jesus we're talking about. And so she's super concerned about this. Verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. Distractions, not always bad. Serving, obviously very good most of the time, except for one other time in this case. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, there is a lot in this. This is one of those verses you could probably do a pretty good YouTube short on with some good acting and really kind of show people what this would have been like. But when you think about the distractions that you and I have and the distractions of Martha, Martha's distractions were probably pretty minimal in terms of the number of distractions, but it's still distracting from the one thing, the biggest deal. And so once, I'm gonna read that again. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I don't know if you've seen the movie Father of the Bride from 30-something years ago, but at the end, Steve Martin's character is like running around, making sure you know, everybody's good, making sure the swans aren't frozen and all of that. And he like misses his daughter. She's gone, and he missed the whole thing. And I, you know, when I watched the movie, I was like, man, he didn't seem like the kind of guy to even care about that. He seemed like the kind of guy to be like, forget it, I'm just gonna stare at her the whole night, my daughter. But there was all these problems in the movie, and the movie's funny, but it's kind of cool. But in this case, Martha is distracted with serving the Lord. So what translation to Calvary Tucson 2025, distracted with your ministry, your gift, your hospitality, your whatever, making food for people, whatever that is. In this case, she's doing a really, really great thing, but it's misprioritized. It's in the wrong order. I've been around church, like I said, in Chicago, like a long, long time. Probably was at church when I was 3 weeks old in Chicagoland. And sometimes you see people serving and you look at them and you're like, ooh, that feels like a duty. Like everything about how their countenance or their sort of attitude it's like there's not a lot of yes written all over the face there. It's like, are you doing this out of compulsion? And then there's other people who it just seems like a delight. It seems like the greatest gifting, and them using the gifting in the right context at the right time. And when you see that, when you see the second one, you're like, that's amazing. If the church, if everybody in the church served and they served according to their gift, man, would that would look so amazing. Martha does, however, vent her frustration to the right one. She doesn't go to others. She doesn't tell the other people, my sister, what a nightmare. Can you believe her? I have to go out and make bread again. And, you know, Jesus is here. I've been cleaning for weeks. No, she goes right to Jesus. She doesn't triangulate it. She doesn't, you know, gossip. She just goes right to Jesus, her Lord, which is the one human we can take our stuff to. And she goes, Lord, do you even care? Here I am. I'm killing myself for you. And Jesus' answer is amazing. Martha, Martha, I was listening to David Guzik, and he goes, you should listen to sermons around the church or around the Bible that deal with Jesus using people's first names twice. He goes, I'm not going to get off on the rabbit trail right now, not enough time, but that would be a cool one. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. That's why things is in my title. I wouldn't have put things in there otherwise. But in our world with all the words that, you know, the slang in our culture, I can't keep up. I say stuff to the 18 to 25-year-olds, and it's like landmines. You can't say certain words. You can't say two numbers in the middle between 1 and 10 together. You're not allowed to. Some of you guys understand that. We did try to make light of that at the 40th. But there is so much slang. There is so much that you have to be learning. That word, that means that now? What word, what is, does cool still mean what we think it does? Because we've been saying that one for a long time. They're like, yeah, but nobody says that anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm over 30. And apparently, according to Adam's picture, well over 30. But in this case, Martha is called out for serving. She's called out for using her spiritual giftings. She's called out by God for caring for God. And there's only one reason why that would ever be the case. That there's only one reason why Jesus would say this to not only somebody who he loved, this family, he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but he really liked them. There's so much written about, so many books about this family, commentator type stuff, where it's just like the friendship. Jesus could have been in Jerusalem. Jesus could have been in bigger venues. Jesus was headed there anyway. But God Almighty has 3 years and he spends time in this little village and hangs out with like dozens of people instead of like, Jesus, shouldn't you be teaching? Like, you don't have much time left. We used to do a lot of concerts here. And sometimes you'd call the promoters or the managers. You'd be like, hey, can we get so-and-so to come through here? And they're like, no, they're going to go through Phoenix. You guys can drive up to Phoenix. I'm like, thanks. This is not that small of a town. He's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. You need to bring everybody up to Phoenix. Okay. Well, I saw Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake with my son a few months ago at Where the Suns Play. And I was like, oh, okay, 18,000 people. I'm like, yeah, in the summer, we don't really have a lot of places for that in Tucson. It was amazing, but they're not coming to Tucson, just so you guys know. And if they do, it'll be like U of A football field in December or something to be able to fit it. But she vents to the Lord, and the Lord calls her out and says, you're worried, you're troubled about many things, not just one thing. You know, how much should we as Christians be worried? How much should we be troubled? How much should we be distracted? About how many things? About, you know, there's good things, every good and perfect gift. God gives us great things. He gives us wonderful gifts, but in their proper context. Verse 42, he says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Once again, Jesus doesn't have a lot of time left. They know this. I mean, Jesus told the disciples, it is so funny how many times he told the disciples that he was not only going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, but that he would rise again. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's like dissociation. Like, yeah, I think we heard something about that on the ship or something, but we don't want to believe it. Like, that's not like the human plan, right? There's every single thing from the flesh perspective, from the cursed earth, the human perspective, everything works the opposite of how the Spirit of God approaches us. The free gift of salvation, you cannot do it. You cannot earn it. You cannot serve enough. You can't make Jesus enough meals. You can't do enough charitable things. No matter what, no one can. And in this case with Martha, he just calls out all the things that he sees and then tells her the one thing. There's always a one thing. The godly thing for you and I today is the exact same thing that Mary sought. It's the exact same prescription Jesus gives Martha. Connecting with Jesus. Listening to his word. Submitting to him over all of the things that she could have done. And maybe she could have done even more with some help. Made it even more beautiful. Look, I love dinner parties. I've been to people's houses over in my life where once in a while when you're younger and one of your richer friends invites you over and you're like, ooh, they got a pool and they got all this fun stuff and you're like, you never want to leave. And then you go to your house, and you're like, our house stinks. You know, it's like, it's sad because your dad's like, well, son, you know, we're not all made of that kind of money. But I love the dinner party, just a dinner party where you have friends, you have people that are on the same page with you, faith-wise or otherwise, like great old friends from a long time ago. And you get together and it's like 1 hour becomes two, becomes five. You're like, this is so great. And sometimes you have a host that's a little like Martha at those times. And sometimes you have a host that's a lot more like Mary. Hey, you know what? We're just here to enjoy a fellowship with Jesus. So, hey, I think there's some waters and some Gatorades or something maybe outside in the cooler from last week. Probably a little hot. And they're just not concerned. And it's like, ooh, that feels, I mean, it feels good. Because you don't feel like you don't belong. You're like, if they're disarmed, if they're chill, then great. Then I guess we can be. And then sometimes you go to stuff and they're like, don't sit on the couch without the plastic liners. Which that was my whole childhood. I'm like, why do we have a plastic thing through the family room and why do we have plastic covering an old blue couch? But that made you feel like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get in the backyard or something. I'm gonna get yelled at. So he continues with this one thing. This good part, which is, verse 39, hearing my word. How do we as Christians, how do we recharge? How do we renew? How do we fill up our tank, our love tank, our service tank, service for church, avoiding burnout, those types of things? We do it by taking time exactly the way Mary did. Now, she had the advantage of having Jesus right in front of her, one of very few people in the span of humanity. But we have his word. We have one of the coolest things about these things, which sometimes I want to run over it. One of the coolest things is when you hear some verse that you knew from a long time ago and you just say like three words, and it's like, oh, that's Isaiah 12:2. I love that because it used to take a long time to try and find that stuff when we were in Bible college. But the one thing Jesus tells Martha, it's a choice. He says it's a choice. Mary has chosen. You both came in, you both invited me in, and yeah, you know, the shawarma was amazing, Martha. It was awesome. The flatbread, all of it was great. But Mary chose the one thing, and it's why you're struggling, Martha, because you didn't choose it, because you were so worried about the performance. You were so worried about what I would think. You were so maybe worried about the other people, what the other people would think. One thing is needed. We have so much in a given day that we choose to do or not to do. We have so many distractions. We have so many troubles and worries. So many things like just bad news nonstop. Bad news, bad news. People text you. It's been a, me personally, it's been a lot of text messages and calls in the last like week of not so good news with people, just relationships and deaths. It's been heavy for sure. But it's not that Jesus is not acknowledging what Martha has done in service. He just says one thing is needed. When you get to that dinner party and you talk to the people that are hosting the dinner party and you're like, hey, you know what? We didn't need any of this. We all just ate at Taco Bell. And they're like, what? We've been making like something braising and smoking meat in the back for 12 hours. Why didn't you tell it? Why would you do that? Well, we didn't want to burden you. Well, you could have told me, could have texted me. But it's not that he's not acknowledging what she's done. Out of all the things that Martha had done, Jesus was most interested in giving Mary the one thing she needed. He wasn't interested with like, oh, the floor is really clean. That is amazing. Oh my gosh, it smells so great in here. He wouldn't say, oh my gosh. But all of these things, Jesus was most interested in giving Mary and the rest of the people listening and the rest of humanity that's read this gospel the answer to, well, how do I find out my spiritual gift? Sit at the feet of Jesus. How do I get involved in church? First, seek the Lord as to where you should be. Seek the Lord as to, is this really a gifting or is this something that you desire that's not necessarily something that you should be doing? There's an old bumper sticker. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's very true. Mary prioritized time with Jesus, something all of us need to be reminded of. Peter, in 2 Peter, says, hey, I know you guys know a lot about the scriptures. I know you guys know all these things, but I will never stop reminding you. And that's what preaching, it's one of the things preaching and teaching is a reminder, because we get thrown around in this crazy world, busy, busy world. I don't know about you, where you sit with prioritization. It's a real struggle for me. Sometimes I feel like someone asks me to do something that's church related. Like, hey, could you come teach at this, whatever it is, some school or some group, some little Bible study somewhere. I'm like, yeah, I can. And it's like, but you know it's conflicting with family time and you know you've been doing a lot and you know that you probably, your kids are gonna be like, oh, we never see you. And you go, you know, there's a freedom in saying no. There's actually a book called The Power of Saying No. And I don't know about you, I struggle with that because I want to do it. Like, I want to teach. I love it. But ADD people, distractions are like everywhere. When Robert was saying, do you want things in your deal? I was explaining it to him about some of this stuff. And I go, man, having ADD and all of those, you know, kind of learning challenges and stuff, it's always been very difficult, but there's always been a couple things that I could just do, and it was like, it hones you in. And that's very characteristic of people that kind of struggle with that. But my distractions, I have enough of them just anyways. I don't need extra ones. I don't know about you guys, but the enemy will use anything. Good things. Not just, you know, hey, here's a temptation. Here's something that, you know, you deserve this, whatever that is. He'll use anything to keep our attention off of the one thing, off of time with Christ. There's so much in our culture. There's so many books. There's so many teachings. Guys, I don't know if there's not like 4 million teachings that you could listen to like right now, like U.S. pastors alone, millions of teachings. Some of them are fantastic. So much information, so many books, so many, oh, have you listened to this podcast? This guy's great, you have to listen to this podcast. People send me podcasts, I'm like, it's honestly like, there's like a pinball inside of my head. I'm like, I just can't, like stop, turn off the phone, get rid of this thing. Because that's what happens with people like me. And so we've got to go back. You know, we talk about the good, the bad, and the godly. The good things in our lives, God has given you and I to enjoy the good things. I love my wife. I love being married. It's an amazing thing. But it can't be the only thing as it pertains to my faith. The Lord has to be first. And so if he's not, it's out of order. And God made marriage. He put marriage in motion. He loves it. But nothing, no matter how great that thing, no matter how good that thing, nothing can be number one other than him. So he's given us these things to enjoy in their proper context and order. Martha serving, showing hospitality, that's a great gift. Prepping, cleaning, inviting Jesus into her home, all great gifts, especially if there was like political pressure, especially if it was like, ooh, this could be like nasty. This could be like, you could be ousted in the little Bethany synagogue or whatever. You know, some of these people are like, Jesus is really, he's a radical, he's crazy. You guys still like him? It's like today in our world, like it's like the polarized United States. You say one thing and somebody overhears it and just jumps on you. And it's like, oh, I know how you think about stuff because of how hard you came at me. Some of that was there in this little town. So all these things are good things, but because they were elevated in priority above spending time with Jesus and hearing him teach, they became bad things. How can you ever say that? How can you say serving and giving your spiritual giftings and making them work, not just in your home with people, inviting people in, but to God Almighty? Because her first concern was, gotta make sure everything's perfect. Gotta make sure the food's perfect. Gotta make sure things are clean. Because they were elevated, they became bad things. Worry, anxiety, she was troubled. She was frustrated at her sister, maybe even jealous. These gifts became godly spiritual fruit or godly things when served with the proper spiritual priority. Reprioritization that's not a tangible physical thing. That's just you realizing, man, I gotta make some changes. This is taking up way too much of my day. I can't be doing this. I gotta say no to some stuff. It's one of the things that I hear the most from 18 to 28 year olds right now. Is I'm doing school, I'm doing work, I'm doing this, I have a relationship. Oh my gosh, if that was me, I would be like frazzled. I don't know how you're here. I don't even know how you're at this Bible study on Thursday night. It's crazy how much people say when you're like, hey, how's it been? Crazy. Do we realize what crazy used to mean? What the definition of crazy is, and maybe the DSM or something? Somebody who's crazy, that is not something you want your life to be day in and day out. That is not something you want to just, yeah, I just love busy. I love being busy. Okay, busy is one thing. Crazy? Some people say crazy busy. Some people serve out of their own effort. Maybe guilt, maybe compulsion, maybe because their parents did. And I'm talking about in a church. But without the time with the Lord and his direction, burnout and frustration are a real possibility, and they're probable. Because the love tank, the tank in which we serve, that doesn't come from other people. That come the real filling comes from God, comes from the Spirit of God, comes from us spending time with him. We need to be able to serve out of that power supply. Because without it, we're serving in our flesh. We're serving in our own effort. And not only will that run out, it inevitably will run out. It hurts people. If you serve and you're just frustrated, you're just mad, you're sick of people, but you're serving and you're a greeter, and you just got this like, I can't believe these people are coming in. They're coming in through the front door. There's a million of them coming in. I got to shake their hand. You're frazzled. It's time to take a little break, just so you know. It's okay to go to your, you know, ministry coordinator or whoever's over the ministry you're serving and be like, hey, I got to take some time, sit at the feet of Jesus. I got to make the one thing number one again. Because we trip, we drift, we're out of sorts all the time. I mean, it happens to us. That's part of being in humanity. I want to close with a quote, but just for your information, the quote is from Matthew Henry, who's been gone a few hundred years. And so there's a lot of run-on sentences. And apparently it was fine to do run-on sentences in 1700, but I got really like red marked up for doing them. So I kind of wish I could have written like this, but I'm going to close with this quote from him. Mary had chosen wisely, and Christ justified her against her sister's objections. sooner or later, Mary's choice will be justified, and all those who make that choice and abide by it. So all of us that make that same choice. But this was not all. He applauded her for her wisdom. She hath chosen the good part, for she chose to be with Christ and took a better way of honoring Christ and of pleasing him. A better way was not serving him. A better way was listening to him. Once again, we can't give anything to God. He has everything. The only thing we can give him is our heart through free will. And he loves that. He says, Martha provided for his entertainment in her house, and yet Jesus applauded Mary. A part with Christ is a good part. It is a part for the soul and eternity. It is a part that shall never be taken away from those who have it. In the days in which we live, the time that we have left, which nobody knows, super volatile, super like, I mean, how can you ever know? But in our times, it's really dicey. To reprioritize, to take inventory tonight, where you're at right now in the church, and to really go, Lord, I just want to make sure. For some of you, priority is there. Awesome. And you're blessed because of that. For others, it needs to be shifted around, and the Lord needs to take first position. Lastly, Mary had justly given the preference to that which best deserved it. For one thing is needful, this one thing that she has done. Nothing but this will go with us into another world. Nothing but what she was doing, which was communing with the Almighty in her house. Nothing else will go into the next life with us but that. Would you guys stand as we pray? Lord, I thank you for just the opportunity to preach your word, to just be able to talk about what you say, not what man says, not what the world thinks. But Lord, for all of us, the great reminder from Luke as to what is the one thing, what's the priority with all the distractions that we get bombarded with, God, to come back to that simple fellowship, that simple opening up the word and saying, God, teach me like you taught her. God, I pray that for us. I pray for the discouraged that are here tonight or online. God, that you would comfort them, that they'd be able to just call that out right now to you. Reprioritize that. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praises. It's in your name we pray. Amen.